You're most beautiful, Lord. And there was a time, Lord, when you took upon yourself all our sins, all our sins, all our sicknesses, all our diseases, so much so that you didn't even look human. But Lord, you are beautiful. You are beautiful, Lord, because you've cleansed us from that ugly sin, from that ugly disease, from that ugly sickness, Lord. You've healed us whole, made us whole. Lord, you are beautiful, the most beautiful, the most beautiful, Lord. And your name, salvation, Yeshua, declares unto us that you have everything. You've established it in our lives, Lord. That which was lost so long ago in the Garden of Eden, Lord, you have established it in our lives so that we are not lacking one thing. We are complete in you. We are complete in you because of what you did for us. We call you beautiful, Lord. Beautiful. Beautiful. Our hearts are yours, Lord. We hold nothing back. The sin that so easily besets us, Lord, we throw it aside and we run to you, the author, the finisher of our faith, the most beautiful. You are the first, the last, the beginning, the ending, the Alpha, the Omega of everything in our lives, Lord. You are beautiful. And you've done a beautiful work in us. When you said that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. Old things passed away. All things become new, brand new, brand new. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. My beloved. Thank you, Lord. Our hearts are filled, Lord, with you. Lord, you are here and you are moving in our midst, Lord. And we receive from you, Lord, all that your salvation, your name brings. We don't push any of it aside or away. We receive it all. We receive it all, Lord. And we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory and praise and honor and thanks. And thanks. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord is good. Amen. We're going to be receiving communion here shortly. Don, you got your men? You got your men? Okay. We'll probably preach for 30 minutes and then take communion. See where the Lord takes us. Father, we love you and praise you, Lord. You are good to us. Lord, you never fail, Lord, to manifest your presence in our midst, Lord. And it's so humbling, and it's so, Lord, You are here. And Lord, we look to you. We look to you. And we give you thanks and praise, Lord, for the words that you're going to bring forth this morning. May our hearts, Lord, be receptive to receive your word. May we hear and may we do your word, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we are continuing our message we started a number of weeks ago. The more earnest heed, given the more earnest heed to the word so that it doesn't slip. And that comes from Hebrews 2:1. And we've talked about stirring up the gift of God that's in us. We started with salvation. That's a gift. And it's so important that we understand what God has done for us. That's it. Once we start to understand Jesus, his name is salvation. Everything lost by Adam and Eve so long ago, Jesus restored completely. He said, it's finished. The work is finished. The restoration has taken place. Now, how do I receive it? By faith. By faith. You lay hold of salvation. You fight the good fight of faith. You lay hold of eternal life. You lay hold of that. Puts something on me. It doesn't just fall off of the tree like it did the man who invented gravity so long ago. Did he invent it or did he discover it? It just hit him, didn't it? There's gravity. We have to lay hold of eternal life. That's our charge to us. Well, I'm just drifting through life. Well, you will drift if you're not heading somewhere. If you don't put some power, some motivation to your vehicle, to your transportation, you're just going to drift with the currents of life. And we all know what the currents of this world are doing. They're drifting in very ugly ways and in very ugly directions. They're heading straight for the rocks. And I don't want my faith to be shipwrecked. I don't want to preach to you and then be found on the rocks because I've followed the currents of this world. We've got to. You want the fresh waters. You want the wellsprings of life. You want the rivers of living water, the headwaters. Amen. You've got to go upstream. You've got to go upstream, and it's always a little bit more of a challenge to paddle upstream than it is to drift downstream. But that's where the fresh waters are, and that's where the Lord wants us to go. So we're stirring up these things, stirring up salvation. We're stirring up another thing. Why do you call me Lord if you're not doing what I say? We have to stir up obedience. We have to understand that it's so important to our everyday life. It's important to the Lord. He wants us to call him Lord. And he wants us to be obedient. There's power in obedience. That obedience is agreement with God. Think about that. Obedience is agreement with God. It's coming into alignment with him and his desires and his wants and his wills for your life and mine. And living those wants and wills out. Making his desires my desires. That's why this word is so important. We've got to get it in us. Get it in our hearts. Live that word out in our lives. So we've been stirring up obedience. We've also been stirring up. Oh, this is the most exciting word. Doctrine. Doctrine. Oh, that one, I saw your eyes droop right then. They just, doctrine. Listen, sound doctrine is what the world doesn't want. The world wants to run from sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is the word of God. Sound doctrine is what's going to get us to the, if we could say it this way, the next level with God. He wants us to rise up above all the pull and all the currents of the world. He wants us to rise above that. And speaking of boats, they have these new sailboats. And I haven't seen them But, you know, they run that race every so many years. The America's Cup, is that what they call it? And they used to have those old ships that plowed right through the water, you know, just, and it had to push the water out as it went. Now they got them on these, Mr. Carey, you may, I'm sure you know more about it than I do. They've got these things that project down into the water now, and they have like these feet on them, and they get going, and they can go 40 and 50 knots by sail. By sail. That is amazing. We need to get our boats up out of the water and catch the currents of God's wind. You know, God is called wind in some of the scripture. He's not wind, but that's one of the references to him. There was a time in Acts chapter 2 that a great mighty wind came in. And it either blowed your house down. The unbelievers, they were so confused. They didn't understand. Or could catch your sail, the believers. And they started moving with God like never before. Peter stood up and preached. He preached a message that day. And thousands were saved. Thousands were saved. We haven't fully talked about that yet. But we're moving in that direction today. We talked about enduring sound doctrine. That men in this age won't endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine comes from God only. There's no sound doctrine from men. All you get from men is traditions. Traditions in Matthew 15, you need to go read that scripture. Tradition of men make the word of God of no effect. So we in our individual lives have to decide, what am I going to follow? Am I going to follow the word of God, God's sound doctrine, or am I going to follow traditions of men? Well, how do I know the difference? Well, if the word says it, and then men say it's not for you today, well, you stick with the word. You stick with the Bible. In Acts 2, and we've talked about this, and this is part of my review, let's go ahead and go there, because this is important. Acts 2. Acts 2. Along about verse 38. Well, 37, the sermon was finished, and all that heard said, "What shall we do?" They wanted to know, what do I need to do now? I've heard the message. I want to respond to it. What shall I do? And Peter starts telling them in verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent." Repent. Repentance is one of the necessary things that we must do. And we must do it from the initial decision to follow Jesus Christ. It starts then, it does not end there. You're repenting today. Many of you have repented today. I have too. I have too. This day, I've repented within this last hour. I am deciding, I'm following you, Lord. More than ever, I'm turning, I'm changing. One of my prayers this morning, that we would just get rid of those things holding us back. Set them aside, those sins that just weigh on you, that try to just overtake you. And it could be just as so natural a thing. What's going on in the world today? Oh, that's something I need to start worrying about. Let's give some thought to that. How can we? Worry is a grave with the ends knocked out. It is a grave. It will kill you if you stay in worry. Don't worry. Jesus said, be anxious for what? Nothing. 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 Be anxious for. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. He knows our situations, even in the moments where it seems like I can't think straight. Moments of panic. I've experienced them. I've told you this. For about 30 seconds, Roy, I forgot the number for 911. And that's usually the response I get. I tell my students that. Look, when we talk about accidents, which is some of the things that I have to talk about in school, accidents are unplanned events, right? Sometimes accidents are so great, or moments are so great that it overwhelms all the senses and you just can't think straight. At 911, they made it so simple so you would never forget. But it is even possible to forget it. God knows that. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows everything that you've dealt with. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what's ahead. He's with you. He's not forsaken you. He doesn't walk away in those moments. But we do have a whole lot to do with training ourselves, getting our minds trained to think like the Lord, to think like Him. It's called renewing of the mind. We see that in Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to this world, to its way of thinking, to its way of panicking, to the currents of the world that try to drag your thinking one way and then the other, so much so that you don't know if you're a boy or a girl. I said it. That's sin. That is sin. That is death. That is wrong. It's against everything that God stands for. You don't have to bend, bow, or sway to that line of thinking. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds have to be transformed. From that caterpillar, metamorpho, that's the Greek word, transformation. From that caterpillar to a butterfly, there's your picture. There's our picture. That caterpillar crawling out on all those legs, doing the little caterpillar walk, builds that little cocoon, hides himself in that shell of a cocoon, cannot be touched, and then all of a sudden, the time passes, and he starts opening up, crawls out, and all of a sudden those wings expand. Beautiful different colors. And he is totally different than before. That's what this word does to us. It makes us new creatures in manifestation. Not just in word alone, not just in conversation or topic alone, but in reality. We become so new that we're almost unrecognizable. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So we're still reviewing. So we've talked about all of these things. We've talked about the doctrine, the sound doctrine that was preached that day in Acts chapter 2, to get to it and to go further. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And listen, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 42, listen to what this is called. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And I'm making a very strong point here, because this is sound doctrine. Where did the apostles get their doctrine? They got their doctrine from the Lord Jesus himself, just before he ascended. The Great Commission is the apostles' doctrine that they preached that day. It's the doctrine we preach today. And I have a question. Who gave man the authority to change the sound doctrine from what Scripture says to something else? Where does the authority come from? There is none to stand on. There is no authority to stand on. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he we are in this new age of grace, age of grace. It's called the age of grace. It's called the church age. Has it changed? Has the Lord returned and we don't know about it? Has the second advent taken place? We're looking for him to return. We're looking for that moment when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and all those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds. Has that event happened yet? No, it has not happened. Has the 7 years of tribulation occurred? No. No. Has the Lord returned and we not know about it? Is he seated in Jerusalem? No. We are in the church age. The next great event that's going to take place for this church, for all churches, all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be when that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise and all our loved ones in Christ rise up to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to be a great event, because right over here in Cairo Cemetery, the old cemetery, my dad and my wife are laying side by side now for about 11 years, going on 12 years. They're going to rise up. They're going to rise up at that trumpet sound, along with all of your dead loved ones in Christ. They're going to rise up first. And we're going to follow immediately. It's a twinkle of an eye. It's that quick. That quick. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It says it. I believe it. It's going to happen. And I just can't wait till it does. Until then, we're just going to keep preaching, keep learning, keep studying, keep walking the walk of faith. We live by faith, not by sight. We live in the spirit, not in the flesh. We walk these things out, and if we trip and fall, we get right back up and we keep moving forward. Praise God. My beloved is most beautiful of the thousands and thousands. The scripture, old King James says, 10,000s and thousands. He's the most beautiful. He took all of the sin and death that we were living in upon himself, so he could share his life with you and with me. Man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That makes you beautiful. And I don't want to sound braggadocio. Makes me beautiful too. Believe it or not. And I'm the last one in here to believe it. But we are beautiful because the Lord is beautiful and he's made us beautiful. And the Lord brought that word out. That's something we need to think about. And that's enough review. I want to move on to the question of the day. And I started this last week. And it comes from Luke 9:62. And it's a very serious question. I'm going to make it a question. It's a statement from the Lord. 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, he spoke it to that young man that came to him. That same scripture is ours too. We need to be mindful of the fact that we are committed to following the Lord. Our hand is to the plow. We are moving forward. Jody, do you have that bulletin picture? That is the most beautiful picture right there. Lori, thank you for finding that. I've been thinking about this picture right here that you're looking at. You know, in one sense, that's you and I standing on that plow with those horses ahead of us. We don't look backwards. We look forward. We're going with the Lord. We're looking ahead. He says, you're not fit for the kingdom if you're plowing looking back. You can't plow a straight row looking back. You got to look ahead. You got to keep your eyes forward. You've got livestock ahead of you that needs your attention. You got things ahead of you that need your attention. In one sense, that's us. And in another sense, I just love the old architectural designer in me. I like to look inside and outside the box and try to just see the picture as it unfolds in different ways. In one sense, that farmer standing there is the Lord Jesus. And you and I are those pulling the load. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Well, who owns the yoke? Is that yoke the horses, or is it the farmers that he places on? Jesus places his yoke on us, and it's easy and it's light. And why? Why? Why is it easy and light? You can't see it very well, but standing right beside the horse on this side is another horse on the other side. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in this with us. He is working with us. All the things that we need in this life, all things that pertain to life and godliness has been provided you. And as you walk out your life, you're not walking alone. You are not walking alone. The Holy Spirit is right there with you, teaching you, walking with you, talking with you, instructing you along the way. One way, I watched this show on Clydesdale horses. How do they train younger horses and whatnot? You know how they train a young horse to pull? They yoke him with an older horse, a mature horse, a one that knows all the ropes and knows the commands and knows everything there is to know. And they'll yoke that younger horse with the older horse, and that older horse teaches that younger horse. The Holy Spirit is teaching us how to do the work of the Lord, how to walk this life out, how to trust God, how to call upon the Lord in those times of panic when the whole world is falling apart. And it's on you to decide. The Holy Spirit is there to instruct you and to help you and to teach you. He is not some kind of He's the third person in the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is not some invisible force. It's not some vaporous cloud. He's a person of the Godhead. Let's talk about it just a few minutes. Let's go to our very own statement of belief here at Faith Christian Center. Let's look at that for a moment. Our God is one, but manifest in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, being co-equal. God the Father is greater than all, and the sender of the Word, and the begetter. That's from John 14, John 16, and John 1. The Son is the Word, flesh covered, the one begotten, and has existed with the Father from the beginning. You can find that in John 1, John 1, 18, John 1, 14. The Holy Spirit proceeds forth from both the Father and the Son and is eternal. And let's look at John 14, 16, because that's one of our scriptures. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 14. 14:16, and it says, this is Jesus talking, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Jesus prayed the Father would send to us another comforter. And that word comforter means one just like me. One just like me. You know, I've heard people say it, and I've probably said it myself, and you've probably said it yourself. If I could just walk with Jesus, if I could just talk with Jesus, if I could just go back 2,000 years and walk and talk with Jesus. Have you ever thought that? I have. We can, because we do every day. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. He is one just like Jesus. Just like Jesus was to the disciples, the Holy Spirit is to you and me. You know, those disciples, not every one of them listened to the Lord. One of them went out there and sold basically access to the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, sold out the Lord, took the whole cohort of Roman soldiers to Jesus, betrayed him with a kiss. He didn't listen to Jesus very well, did he? But he had Jesus with him every day, just like the others did. Sometimes we don't hear the Holy Spirit when he speaks. Or we say, like I've done, sadly, confession time, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do. I want to think the way I want to think. Well, that's bad. That's a bad choice. I've made some of those bad choices. But, you know, on the other hand, I've heard and obeyed. I've heard and obeyed. The Lord, I had a mailbox in Tallahassee, and that's where I got all my mail for my business and whatnot, a P.O. box, you know. I go there daily and check it and so forth. And as I was approaching it one day, I just came up right here inside of me, throw it away. Throw it away. Kind of like that. Wasn't a voice. It's just right here. Throw it away. And I opened it, and I don't know how or what. I didn't hardly look at it, but I knew it wasn't anything I needed to look at. It had something to do with ladies, and it had something to do with other things. And I just took it, and I threw it away. Took it and threw it away. The Holy Spirit, if we listen, will talk to us. He's talking to us now. He's talking to you and I right now. We need to learn to listen. And if I had been perfect in everything that I've ever heard of him and from him, I would be much more along the path than I am now. But there's times I've gone down the path making progress, and then I've turned right around to backtrack. Back to poor decisions or just things I shouldn't have considered. The Holy Spirit is here. And so in one sense, that picture to me reflects the Lord. Because he said this to me as I was thinking about this. You're not fit for the kingdom of God once you put your hand to the plow and you start looking back. And so this whole idea that God has sent the Holy Spirit to start a work just to turn back and go a different direction is not sound doctrine. The Lord is committed to this verse right here, Luke 9:62. He is as committed to it as he wants you to be committed to it. Lori made a good point. We see the Lord as the most beautiful. He sees you as the most beautiful. He holds you to keeping your hands on the plow. He's committed to keeping his hands on the plow with you. He's not turning back. He's not going a different direction. The gifts and promises of God are for this church age. There's no point in it where he pulls back, where it pulls back. He doesn't. But David, I haven't studied this all out yet, but I'm going to pose this question because we're fixing to take communion. But tongues shall cease. Tongues shall cease. And that's correct. They will. When did tongues first appear? Was it Acts chapter 2? No. The confusion of the languages took place a long time before that at a place called the Tower of Babel. God had to mix the languages because they saw man taking every thought and being able to achieve every thought. So where is it? Where? What is this? What are you talking about, David? Listen, there's going to be a point in time where we're not going to have to talk different languages again. I don't know if the Lord's going to reunify all the languages, all the communications, or we're just going to understand each other as we speak. But the reason why we all speak different languages on this planet is because of sin. That's why. Now, we have opportunity to speak forth on God's behalf. And there is that gift where God can unction you to speak a language that you don't understand, but somebody else will. We have that testimony in Acts chapter 2, and we have that testimony from men. Since then, missionaries and different people around the world have spoken out languages in perfect dialect that others can understand. I've never done that. Does that mean they don't exist? That gift doesn't exist? No, the gift is for the church. Are we in the church age? Yes, we're in the church age. Is the gift still today? It has to be, or God's changed. And he doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, forever. But tongues shall cease. Yes, they will. But they haven't ceased yet. They haven't ceased yet. And we need to just fix it in our head. Hey, some doctrines that I hear, I might want to let go of. Because if it's not clear in the Word, if it's not detailed in the Word, let it go. Let it slide. Don't hold that doctrine higher than the Word of God. Because you can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, 14, those chapters, just how important tongues are to you. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. I speak in tongues more than you all. Jude 20 tells us that we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Folks, we just need to realize that, and I want to encourage you, God is committed to this gospel as much as he wants you to be committed to it. He wants you to put your hand to the plow to this sound doctrine that the apostles preached in Acts 2 concerning the gift of the Holy Spirit. What? Let me read this again. Acts 2, 42. Jody, if you beat me, 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, here, which one of these are we going to pull out and say they don't exist for the church anymore? Peter said unto them, repent. Are we going to remove repentance? No. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Are we going to remove baptism? No. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are we going to replace that one? No. 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 There's more to this that we need to talk about. We're not done yet. But I'm going to call the gentleman forward. And as you do, I'm going to pray. And I pray that you receive what I'm saying in the heart that I'm trying to say it. You know, it's love. If it's not in love, it's all sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. It's like the people that walk down the street trying to get your attention to buy or sell something. No. I don't want that to come off that way. I want you to hear and understand that this is said in the heart of love. But these are days when we need the Holy Spirit yoking up with him so we can do the work of the Lord. There's a lot to be done in your life. There's a lot to be done in the church, in this world. Praise God. Father, we thank you and love you, Lord. You are good to us. Lord, we hold fast to your word. We hold fast to the truth of your word. And Lord, we will not let it go. So Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Well, stand with me. Praise God. My beloved is most beautiful. Is most beautiful. Lord, you are beautiful. And we give you thanks and praise and glory and honor, Lord. You've been with us today, Lord. Your word is powerful, Lord, penetrating down to the very separation of our soul and spirit, down to the separation of our joints and marrow, Lord. Your word is alive in us, and it's living and active in us, and it discerns the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Lord, may we lay aside everything, everything, and run to you, and jump in your lap and just love on you as our loving Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we go forth, Lord, we take this gospel message with us to the far reaches of our community, Lord, to those, Lord, that need to hear about your great love for them. Give us boldness of speech, Lord, as we declare your gospel to this world. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.